Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A good morning to you wherever you may be. And this is Africa Link straight from the studios of Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host. Coming up on the program, representatives from 170 countries and nutritional experts from around the world gather in Rome for a three-day United Nations conference on nutrition.
We have to convince the nations of the world to spend as much on food aid as they do on weapons.
Kenyan police arrest over 300 suspected militants in a crackdown on terrorist activities in Mombasa.
We recovered a hand grenade, some petrol bombs, paraphernalia associated with training in jihadism, and we also recovered literature expressing hatred towards the media.
Also on the program, Ghana's finance minister presents the country's budget amid heckles from members of parliament. These stories and more to come in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Representatives of 170 countries have pledged to fight malnutrition at the start of a three-day United Nations conference in Rome, as data showed that while the global hunger crisis was improving, obesity rates were also on the rise. Malnutrition is a problem that troubles a substantial fraction of the world's population. The UN says more than 800 million people are undernourished, and 160 million children are suffering from delayed growth as a result of malnutrition. Didem Tali has this report by DW correspondent Bed Rigat in Rome.
Millions of people die every year because they do not get enough to eat. Millions more become ill and die too soon because they eat too much or they eat the wrong kind of food. For World Health Organization head Margaret Chan, that is a sign that the world's food system is out of balance and in need of repair. Chan spoke at the opening of the second International Food Conference, now being held in Rome. Representatives from 170 countries, as well as many non-governmental organizations, have jointly adopted a new Rome Declaration under which they commit themselves to eradicating hunger by 2025. NGOs such as Germany's Brot für die Welt, Bread for the World, however, doubt whether the Rome Declaration will really make a difference. It's toothless, said the organization's Sascha Haag.
It could grow some milk teeth if people directly affected, farmers, fishermen or local populations, are allowed to participate in the implementation of the recommendations.
The conference has come up with a host of recommendations for politicians worldwide on how food can be better produced and distributed. The list includes improved access to clean water, to toilets, and to an adequate health system. People need to be taught about a balanced diet, and there need to be fairer trade systems in today's globalized world. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called on the government representatives to double their efforts.
I look forward to learning of the national commitments that each of you will make. In turn, the UN system pledges to do all that it can to provide effective support.
There is enough food in the world for everyone, said FAO Director José Graziano da Silva. This had already been ascertained at the First World Food Conference 22 years ago. Some progress had been achieved since then, he said, but the general goal of eradicating hunger completely was still far off. The representative of the United Arab Emirates, Princess Haya bint Al Hussein, gave a moving description of her experience as UN ambassador in Africa, where she saw malnourished children die in their mother's arms. Action must be taken, she said, despite all the conflicts in the world which have led to the highest number of refugees the world has ever seen.
It starts by recognizing that we are not just saving millions of people, we are saving ourselves. It starts by attacking the problem of hunger as if our lives depended on it. We have to convince the nations of the world to spend as much on food aid as they do on weapons.
That would be billions of dollars a year. Perhaps that's something Pope Francis will comment on when he addresses the conference on Thursday.
Didemtali presented that report by Bernd Rigert. But what do African representatives hope to gain at the end of the conference on nutrition? I put that question to Martin Bloom, a nutrition advisor for the World Food Programme.
The African nations have to do it to a large extent from themselves, and they're all here. Of course, they need assistance, but I think what's switching now is that African countries, yes, they are sometimes low, and there are middle-income, you know, cutting some middle-income countries. They have to take, saying, what is the knowledge now? What do we know out of this conference? What can I start to do? That is more important than to say, how can the world help me? I think the world can help African countries. But the first step is saying, we will take responsibility to prevent stunting and to tackle the problem of hunger.
And is there generally funding available to tackle the global problem of undernourishment?
I think the funding is still not good enough, but it's increasing. If you look at the data, it's getting bigger. But it's also very important that countries need to invest themselves, because it's investing in their own future, in their own children. If we don't invest, all of us, in Africa, we're going to fail. It can never come from one particular group.
Now, this is the second international conference on nutrition since the first one in 1992.
Yes, I was there too.
Yeah, the number of people suffering from malnutrition has dropped by 200 million. Does this give you confidence that more progress lies ahead, or are you pessimistic?
No, to be honest, I would not be pessimistic if I only would look at the data. But this is a conference which is not in isolation. You know, we have the post-2015 development goals. A report was announced 2 days ago, a global report, because every nation has a problem of malnutrition. It's undernutrition and overnutrition, and some countries have both. So it's not anymore only a problem of low and middle-income countries. It's a problem of the world, and it's all interdependent. If you want to have better food systems, we have to work together. You can't just do that in isolation. So if you say, are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? As a person who working in nutrition for the past 30 years, actually, I'm very optimistic, but we have to prove it. If we don't prove it in the next couple of years, if we are not really starting to go out of our silos and really thinking about what is really needed, is that every child should not be stunted, then I think we will fail.
I was speaking to Martin Bloom, a nutrition advisor for the World Food Programme.
News, analysis, and feature reports. All that here on Africa Link.
Kenyan police carried out raids on three mosques in Mombasa and arrested more than 300 people on suspicion of undergoing military training. It is the latest in a series of raids in the port city. Kenya is looking to break up Islamist militant networks it blames for a series of attacks in the capital Nairobi, as well as along its Indian Ocean coastline, saying many of the recruits are inspired by Al-Shabaab and Al-Qaeda-linked Somali group. From Mombasa, Eric Ponda reports.
The operation that started on Monday night triggered chaos in Kisauni as angry youths took to the streets, attacking people with knives and machetes in what they said was a revenge mission to the crackdown. Four people were stabbed to death during the four-hour running battle with police, while another was shot dead as he tried to hurl a grenade to the police officers at Masjid Musa Monday morning. Drawing on intelligence which indicated a continued planning to take over other mosques, the Kisauni Police Chief Richard Ngatia said it was unfortunate terrorist groups are now targeting the mosque to plan attacks on innocent people.
Some mosques are radicalizing youth and training them jihadism. We decided to take the bull by the horns and raided the mosques that featured in the intelligence reports. At Swafar Mosque, recently youths took over the mosque. We recovered a hand grenade, some petrol bombs, paraphernalia associated with training in jihadism. And we also recovered literature expressing hatred towards the media.
During the operation conducted at Masjid Musa and Sakina in Majengo area, 250 suspects were arrested with assorted weapons, including a pistol, 5 hand grenades, 2 laptops which contained information on how to carry out terrorist acts. Of the 200 suspects arraigned before Mombasa Senior Chief Magistrate Justice Kutuku on Wednesday, only 15 were charged with terror-related offences for being in possession of 8 hand grenades, while the rest were released. Political leaders at the coast, led by Mvita Member of Parliament Abdul Swamad Nasir, are demanding the police to halt the operations, saying they only serve to compound the problem.
Our view as leaders was that this was profiling young people, basically because of we believe it is lack of intelligence. No one is for violence. Whatever form of violence is violence. We have decided as a leadership in one voice, we will talk ill and we will fight any form of violence against any single person.
However, Interior Cabinet Secretary Joseph Olelenku on Tuesday announced that similar raids will be conducted on mosques suspected to be radicalizing youths.
Eric Ponda reporting from Mombasa. Let's now head to Ghana, where the country's finance minister presented next year's budget to Parliament that hopes to introduce tax cuts for local businesses. This is aimed at increasing the purchasing power for ordinary Ghanaians that are faced with economic challenges, among them the energy problem. Ghana's technocrats also hope to restore economic stability in a country until recently seen as one of Africa's star economies due to its political stability. From Accra, Isaac Kalechi reports.
Mr. Speaker. Amid heckling, Ghana's finance minister, Seth Tekpe, outlined government's economic plans for next year in his budget statement. He detailed what has been termed as homegrown solutions to the current economic challenges. In the past, the government has been known to overspend its budget, compelling it to request for additional funds from the Treasury. According to the 2015 budget, the government intends to cut on spending and avoid operating under a deficit. Local businesses will also receive massive boost after the scrapping of some taxes. Another issue affecting Ghanaians is that of energy, which the finance minister Seth Tepe said will be addressed as soon as possible.
The completion of Ghana's own gas pipelines and processing plants to utilize the free 200 billion cubic feet of gas from the Jubilee field is another opportunity for the medium term.
The finance minister called for the support of all Ghanaians in saying that the country achieves economic growth as high-level talks between the government and International Monetary Fund to assist Ghana fix its economic challenges continue. However, ordinary Ghanaians on the streets of Accra aren't much enthused. They expect government to put its promises into action to provide them with some economic relief.
Well, government about this thing, the electricity, education, that's the only thing I want the government to do for me.
I pray and hope that this budget should be a budget that will relieve the workers and people of Ghana. If they are not able to do this, this is their last chance. People are suffering.
While lawmakers prepare to debate and approve the budget, Ghanaians now hope their lives and the country's economic situation improve in the coming months as promised by their government.
Isaac Kalechi in Accra. It's now time for another segment of our Learning by Ear series, and I'll be back for a recap of the stories we've covered in 10 minutes.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there, and welcome to the fifth episode of our radio drama, Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
This is our third season called Facing the Future, and a lot has been happening lately. Mercy, Tina and Trudy are studying journalism at university, but Mercy has other things on her mind right now. She has a three-year-old daughter called Linda. Mercy's mother used to take care of her, but she and Mercy have had a huge fight. The next day, Mercy confessed something to her best friend, Trudy.
Linda's living here with me.
What?
Shh! Mercy, you know that's against the rules. What if the warden finds out?
I don't know, Trudy.
Mercy's boyfriend, Nikki, wasn't very supportive either.
So now you just make decisions without telling me.
Come on. We don't live together. I thought
thought you'd understand. Linda is my daughter.
And I'm your boyfriend.
Today's episode is called No Picnic. But before we hear how Nikki, Trudy and Mercy are doing, let's check on Mercy's younger brother, Kadu. It's break time at his school.
Hey, Summer, why are you crying?
I'm not crying, Kadu.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Come on, tell me. Is it those girls you were playing with over there? You know I'm the class prefect. I can report them to the teacher.
No, don't do that.
So, what's going on? Tell me.
Okay, but you have to promise you won't report them.
All right.
They say I can't play with them anymore, and they laughed at my yellow dress.
Why?
They say I wear the same dress every day and that it stinks. But it's not true. I have lots of yellow dresses, not just this one.
So yellow's your favorite color, Summer?
It kind of is. In my family, we all dress like this. It's because of our religion, and my parents
say
that...
Do they tell you you have to dress like that? Because you could change here at school, you know? They'd never know.
No, it's not like that. My parents said if the other kids laugh at us, we don't have to wear it.
Then why do you still wear a yellow dress?
Because I like it, and I'm proud of my religion, but the other girls don't understand.
Well, I like your dress.
Thank you, Kadu.
And I say we should report those girls right now.
But Kadu, you promised.
Our teacher said no one should laugh at anyone else because of their religion.
Please, Kadu, if we report them, they'll never let me play with them again.
Okay. You know, my dad is very religious too. He just came back to the city, and all he can talk about is this King Karubu. He wants my brother and me to go and pray with him.
Do you go?
I don't like it. I don't understand what was saying in those prayers.
My mom always says that belief comes from the heart. You have to feel it. And I feel really good when I pray with her.
I don't feel anything when Dad talks about King Karubu. But my brother Banda seems to love it. Hey, do you want to play with me and my friends tomorrow?
Maybe.
I didn't know I had so much dirty laundry.
Hey, Mercy, are you doing the washing for your whole building?
Oh, hi, Trudy. I don't even know how I let them pile up like this. And my daughter, she can be so messy. She's playing over there peacefully now. But once she gets bored or hungry or tired...
Come on, I'll help you.
Oh, thank you. Look, Mercy, maybe you could ask your mother to take Linda again.
Trudy.
I'm just saying, I mean, she helped you take care of her all this time while you finished school.
I just can't, okay? Not after what my father told me and after the fight I had with my mother. I don't know who to trust anymore.
What about Nikki? Maybe he could help out with Linda. He gets along well with her, doesn't he?
That's what I thought too. But, hey,
what is it?
Nothing.
Come on, tell me.
It's just that Nikki hasn't been taking my calls since I told him Linda's come to live with me. Everything was fine before, but now, I think it reminds him too much of the fact that I had someone else's baby.
I thought you accepted that long ago, back when you two got together.
I thought so too.
By the way, did you ever hear from Dan again?
No, nothing. And I don't want to either after he went back to Laboria as soon as Linda was born.
Tell you what. Let's forget about men. They're all idiots anyway. I've got some news for you.
What news?
I got a job at a newspaper.
Really? That's so cool. What are you doing for them?
They told me to...
Hey, Linda! Don't go too far. Linda!
Sorry, I'll be right back.
Oh.
Ah, these gym clothes smell terrible. I have to take a quick shower before I go to afternoon class. Hello?
Hey, Nikki, my son, how are you?
I'm fine, Mom.
It's
Since you went to university, it seems you've forgotten all about us. You don't write, you don't call.
You talk as if I'm living abroad. It's not that far. And I came over to have lunch with Dad just the other day.
Or is it that girlfriend of yours, Mercy, who's keeping you away from us?
Mom, stop it.
Seriously, Nikki, when are you going to get over your obsession with her?
Mom, is that why you called?
I'm your mother. I'm worried about you, Nikki. And I don't think she's good for you. She has a child with another man and...
I know that. And I'm trying to come to terms with it. But you reminding me about it all the time doesn't make it any easier.
So why do you insist on being her boyfriend?
Because I love her, Mom. Okay? I love her and I don't know what else to do.
Nikki, you're a handsome boy who can get any girl in the world. You don't need...
Stop it, Mom.
That girl is from the slums.
I can't listen to this nonsense anymore. I've had enough of her controlling me and telling me what's best for me. Hello?
Nikki, how dare you hang up?
Ha, and I'll do it again.
Hi, Trudy. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Mercy.
Hey, Mercy. We've been waiting for you. We were supposed to meet half an hour ago here in the library.
Mm-hmm.
We've almost finished.
Sorry, Trudy. I had to take Linda to my next door neighbor in the hostel. She doesn't have classes today, and she offered to take care of her.
You look stressed. Is everything okay?
No. We're about to sit to our first exams next week, and I don't have the slightest idea what to write.
But that's because you've been missing classes.
Tina, you have no idea how hard it's been with Linda around.
I think I do. Taking care of my brother and sisters at home is no picnic either. My brother's been helping out a little more, though, since he got into trouble and I was there for him.
What happened?
He had to be treated in hospital and... let's not talk about it now. Anyway, he's taking care of our sisters tonight, so I'm free.
Cool. I have an idea.
What?
Tina, why don't we all meet this evening to help Mercy cheer up? Oops. I mean, catch up.
Sounds like a good idea. What do you say, Mercy?
Really? You do that for me?
Of course, silly. What are friends for?
Oh, you two are amazing. You can come over to my place and we could...
No!
No, we can't work in your room with a little one distracting us all the time.
But I can't leave Linda on her own.
Tell you what, Mercy... Ask your housemate to babysit for you tonight. And we'll take you to a quiet place to study.
Oh, great. I'll ask her right away. I can't concentrate anyway.
Trudy, a quiet place to study? Where can we go? I want us to take her out, Tina. She's so stressed. Huh? We could do with some fun too, don't you think?
Good idea. I know a place where we can go.
Hey, what are you two laughing about?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So, will Tina's and Trudy's plan work out? You'll have to wait until next time to hear. But you can watch Tina's latest video diary right now at dw.de/LBE. You can also discuss what you've just heard with other Learning by Ear fans on our Facebook page. Take care.
And now a reminder of the stories we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Representatives of some 170 countries and nutritional experts from around the world gather in Rome for a three-day United Nations conference on malnutrition. Kenyan police carries out raids on three mosques and arrests more than 300 people on suspicion they were undergoing military training. We've also been hearing from Ghana's finance minister outlining the country's strategies to improve the economic situation. With that, we come to the end of the program. For comments and suggestions, send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a letter to Africa Link DW53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160 957 59510. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.